Well, now we've got Greg Brown on the line. We always love talking to Greg, even under these circumstances with this offense scuttling right now. And he is brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Don't overlook your home's gutter system. 888-5-HELMET. Greg, live from the Bay Area, where the Pirates are trying to shake out of this slump that they're in. They were two hit last night by a 112-loss team from a year ago. And it wasn't like they had Dennis Eckersley or Dave Stewart on the mound for them, Greg. Your thoughts on what the Pirates are doing at the plate and the criticism now that is going to Andy Haynes for their struggling offense?
Well, I mean, I think it's natural that when a team doesn't hit, the first guy you're going to point to is the hitting coach. So it's not surprising that he's going to get criticized.
Justified?
Now, the criticism is understandable. I don't know if it's justified or not. I don't know enough about hitting to know whether he's a good hitting coach. I just don't. It's just the way it goes. It's like, I know.
Well, what are the Wainers
in Canada was
and those guys? What do they say about him? They rave reviews.
I think that the jury's almost out, still out on to a degree on him for a number of reasons. Because one is you guys, I just heard you talking about O'Neill Cruz. It's a big project, and he lost that whole year last year. And I thought about it in spring training when I saw him doing so well. I thought, how in the world can this guy miss a whole year of any competitive? That's something to think about too. I was told that, and we were all told that Cruz was going to come back and play last year, like in August.
Yes.
And then they delayed that in September, and then he didn't play. Why didn't he play? Why didn't he play winter ball? I think we're seeing how costly that has been for him.
And also that spring training is a total mirage for most guys. We learned that the hard way with the Steelers in the preseason last year, and it's the same thing.
Yeah, and
here.
We always do it. Yeah, we do it every year. We always get caught up. No matter the sport, we get caught up in it just the way it is. They're playing the games. We're watching it. We see somebody doing well. We have hope. But I was still stunned at how well he performed it, even early on this season. And now we're seeing the after effects of missing a whole year. We saw exactly what Ellie De La Cruz, I heard you guys talking about him, the Red Superstar.
Yep.
About how well he's performed and how bad he was. Chris mentioned that just now, that how bad he was last year when the league adjusted to him, and he looked like a fish out of water. The same exact pattern happened to O'Neill Cruz in 2022. Exactly. And you saw him figure it out around early August through the end of the year. He was figuring out the league after seeing all the different pitching, what they're trying to do to him, what he should be trying to do. And then it's ripped out from under him because of a bad slide, which, by the way, that they're all kind of tentacles to this. How many players have been careers, and I'm not suggesting this with Cruz, but questionable slides in this organization.
Polanco comes to mind immediately.
Polanco, Tuca Pietermarcano. I don't know if you remember that.
Yep.
At third base a couple years ago. His year was lost. Anyway, that's another subject entirely, but I guess it speaks to why I kind of hold back criticism on one guy. I don't think that, for example, if they made a change at the hitting coach position, all of a sudden these guys are going to start hitting. I just don't believe that.
Well, how much longer into the season? Because this is where I always come down on it, Greg. And this is going to sound harsh, and I don't mean it to, but as like a fan.
But that's Malsy for you.
Whatever. I mean, sure, if the shoe fits, wear it. I don't really care if people think that of me. But like as a fan who wants to see this team do well, who got excited by the very good start, what I always come back to and what becomes sort of DEFCON 1 for me is – I think, what if a lot of these guys just end up not being that good? Like, we all thought they were going to be one thing, and we just find out that they are something else and that that's not the player we expected them to be. And I just wonder how much longer it goes for some of these players before we start to draw conclusions like that about them.
And that's a great point. And that's something that, brace yourselves, because if that's the case, we have a much bigger issue than Andy Haynes.
Well, then the problem becomes the guy acquiring the players, which is Ben Cherington for me.
It's the whole organization. I mean, if these guys don't pan out, and, we talked about this early on this year, and this is no big secret because Ben Cherington and Bob Nutting talked about it. They're expected to compete this year.
Yep.
So the clock is ticking,
well,
and they all know
it. Well, you made that point before the game last night, I thought, very well. Like, come on, we're playing the A's here.
Yeah,
let's not 100%, fart around in this series.
100%. I still – And I tell you, I was talking to some of the A's announcers yesterday before the game because we try to get scouting reports on teams we haven't seen in a while. And I was saying to them, I said, this is kind of a bad starter for the Pirates to have against them right now. A hard throwing, and he is, the Joe Boyle, hard throwing righty, upper 90s. But he's all over the place. I think he walked like 16 guys in about 21 innings this year, something crazy like that. Because the Pirates are offensively, I believe, they're trying to, Andy Haynes and others, they're trying to get these guys to quit being so passive at the plate. Mm-hmm. Because that has become a trend where they're not only are they striking out, but they're striking out looking, or they had been anyway. And if you watch these games of the last several games, you can see them trying to change that approach, and they're kind of in between. And I thought, uh-oh, what do you do? Here's a team that, you know, the previous approach of being passive would have been better against a guy like this. But now they got a guy that's all over the place. And, you know, I guess the whole night was crystallized by the Sawinski at bat in the very first inning with the bases loaded, one out. And he takes that fastball right down the middle, and then later strikes out swinging at a pitch out of the zone. And he knows it. And so, you know, I don't think that's, for me, that's not on Andy Haynes. He's working with each one of these guys to do better. Now, I take some degree of solace knowing that this is kind of it's a negative stat, but it speaks to how things can change. And I saw it, I think it was Alex Stumpf wrote it today, that it's the third time in 24 years that a Pirates team has gone through a stretch of playing 13 consecutive games where they score two or fewer runs. Only three times in one season, a 13-game stretch like that over the last 24 years. One of those stretches was in September of 2017. The other stretch was the very end of April last year, on this very day, mm-hmm. through May 16th of last year. And what happened was, you remember that, the collapse after the great start, but they rebounded. And so we talk about the hitting, no doubt about it. It's the biggest problem on this club is the offense. I don't like the fact, frankly, the fan in me doesn't like the fact that they're the passive Pirates, not only at the plate, but on the bases. For me, I want to see some energy on the bases. And I understand managers' philosophies. Well, you got to get on base. True. And the other part of that equation usually is, yeah, but if you're behind or if you – no. For me, I want to see this team get on base when they do. I want to see them taken off. I want to see movement. I want to see energy. And I don't see that right now. And by the way, if that means for me – and I won't answer the second question, who would come off this roster, because I don't have the answer. But I will tell you the guy that I would bring up tomorrow if I were in charge is Ji-Won Bae.
Yep, I knew
I would put him out in center field, and I'd play him every day for a couple weeks and put him at the top of that lineup and see what happens. That's just the fan in me. Now they're better off because they know all the metrics, and I understand that they you know they're trying to win more than we are, the organization, Andy Haynes and company. You know, I don't know how much longer they'll watch the same personnel. I'd also wouldn't mind. I understand the shakeup of the lineup, but I don't get it why Andrew McCutchen led off back-to-back games and had instant offense, two home runs, and then he sits the next day. And now he's not hitting leadoff anymore. And we're the other thing, they took Cruz out of the top of the order because they wanted to take the pressure off of him, and they dropped him down, I think, to the seventh spot, where he hits over 300 this year, but that lasted just a few days, and then they put him in the three hole last night. And maybe that was because Brian Reynolds isn't seeing enough strikes, and they figure, well, if Cruz hits third, at least he's still a presence, and still pitchers don't want to deal with him. I don't care what his batting average is, his home runs or RBIs, he's a presence. And so maybe Reynolds sees more pitches to hit. Because I think he's seen the third fewest in baseball pitches in the strike zone, Brian Reynolds. So it's a lot of different factors. And again, I just don't necessarily blame one guy like Andy Haynes. It's multifaceted. But finally, I'll say this. You've got a guy on the mound tonight, a veteran that many have seen time and time again, Alex Wood. He's a left-hander. And tonight, in fact, I just saw Andy Haynes headed to the ballpark. I said, tonight's the night, Andy. Tonight's the night that they should and could, or I guess reverse that, they could and maybe should bust out and everybody feel good about it and go on a great run starting tonight.
Well, Greg, enjoy the game. We'll definitely be staying up late and watching. I saw most of the game last night. You and I both called games in Buffalo at AAA. I think we would get three times the number of fans that I saw at that game last night.
It was no doubt.
Embarrassing.
No doubt, Andrew. I mean, heck, Buffalo, you know, they used to draw really well when they first opened up that ballpark when they're Pirates AAA affiliate. But, yeah, it's a sad state of affairs here with that. Many call it the mausoleum. It's sad. People are bummed out. It's a weird dynamic.
Still a strong hint of marijuana odor when you walk in. I had that experience when I went to the Raiders game there a couple of years ago.
I get that when I walk out of this hotel in San Francisco.
Gotcha.
Just walk down the street. It's just one of the odors you get in this city.
All right, we'll see you, Greg. Bye now.
See you guys.